quarter number two. We're with you till two every single day. You want to join us? Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. By the way, real quick, going back to the jerseys, the Broncos are going to change a bit of their jerseys, not a lot, but just tweak the look. It was almost 50-50, Stoke. Some Broncos fans saying, yeah, I do care. I want them to look good. And a lot of the other side of that 50 was, what are they doing, putting lipstick on a pig? What was the 50-50
That's not nice. Tell those people that's not nice.
That's just what they said out
there. We try to be nice around here.
Sometimes. It's Monday early, so we're still nice right now.
That's right.
All right. Let's get into it here with the brackets. Are you busted? We'll tell you. You get a second chance at some cash, thanks to Sport Clips. We'll tell you about that coming up. But how is your bracket? How do you feel about it? Has it been completely busted yet? Like, are your final four teams still intact? Because I feel like that's kind of what matters the most at this point. You know, you get those points accumulated. So of the 16, I got 14 of the 16.
Oh, wow, that's really good.
Freaking Kentucky and Baylor hurt me a little bit right there. But I said last week, because of my sports hate for Kentucky, I'm willing to sacrifice my personal gains for the teams that I don't like to lose. So that's been okay with me. But Baylor was a big one for me, Stoke. I had them making a run to the Final Four, and they obviously ended their season last night.
Yeah, Clemson played good against them.
They played real good.
Yeah, they did. They got a good little scrappy team there. And that was a good basketball game. Baylor came back in the end. I don't know. I did a couple different brackets.
You
so
did.
I haven't even looked at my one yet on the maybe you can you look at it and see how many I got left going there in the bracket, the fan bracket challenge there. But that game last night, that Houston-Texas A&M game, was a thriller. I mean, it was a back-and-forth basketball game, and Houston looked like they had it. Texas A&M just fighting and clawing, making a buzzer-tying three-pointer there to force overtime, and Houston was just a little bit much. Houston's got a good squad there. I mean, they do. They defend. They can shoot it. They're going to be a tough out.
Mm-hmm.
And that Connecticut team is the real deal also. So they got some interesting matchups coming up. And it's going to be interesting to see that Duke-Houston matchup in the Sweet 16. Duke's playing pretty good ball right now. So I'm trying to think overall. It doesn't feel to me like there was as many upsets as maybe previous years.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I mistaken there?
I felt that way as well.
High? It didn't seem like... I'm trying to think about buzzer beaters, and I just don't feel like there was as many maybe as previous years.
I actually agree with you on that. And I mean, if you look at what's left of the 16, you have an 11 seed in North Carolina State. They're going to take on Marquette, but you know that's kind of it. That's the darling right now,
oh,
the
wow.
Cinderella, if you will, is North Carolina State. Because outside of that, it's kind of the powerhouses that you would think. Gonzaga's a 5 seed. And I think this is maybe the year where the world disrespected Gonzaga, and we got it wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's usually the other way around, because Gonzaga, just like you said with UConn, they're dominating in their games. They're handling all their business.
I raised my hand, disrespecting Gonzaga.
Same, dude.
Gonzaga, excuse me. We were down there last year, because they were here, mm-hmm. at Ball Arena, mm-hmm. and we had the big watch party, and I kept calling Gonzaga, and all of the great Zag nation,
yeah.
country. A lot of them were like, hey, get it right.
Okay.
So it's Gonzaga.
Gonzaga.
I got to do better.
Okay.
Gonzaga. But I was disrespecting them. Well, after I took a loss, and what conference do they play in?
A bad one.
Yeah. What the Southwest,
yeah.
Eastern Conference, that deal. I bet with them against St. Mary's, and they got their tails whipped.
They're in the West Coast Conference.
The West Coast Conference.
West Coast, yeah.
The who?
West Coast Conference.
That's it?
That's what it says.
That's what it's called?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
West Coast
West
Conference?
West Coast, yeah.
With St. Mary and all those West Coast teams, huh?
Looking like it, yeah.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. Never heard of that conference, by the way.
That's why they win it every year.
Right. But not this year. St. Mary's won.
There you go.
And at least the conference tournament. But so I'm like, okay, they're not quite the same as they were before. But, you know, their expectations are always really high that they make this great run, and it seems like they always fall just a little bit short with some really good teams. But obviously this might be that year.
Yeah, and they're really good. They have a really good lineup as well. So we'll see what it looks like for the Zags, who will take on number one seed Purdue. That's coming up later in the week on Friday. To the Buff side of this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the future looks like for Colorado? You're going to lose Tristan Da Silva. You're going to lose the big fella in Lampkin, who, by the way, just had another turnover right now, did Lampkin.
Dang. See, now you're like those
now
people
we're in the second
that
hour.
We're calling the Broncos, you know, because they're uniforms and, you know, well, making fun of that. And
as good as he is, maybe I should be frustrated with Tad. Because why does Tad continue to ask Lampkin to be a ball handler 17 feet away from the basket?
Yeah, I don't know about all of that. But I think that was an unnecessary shot.
Okay.
I think it was a little bit of a low blow from you. I appreciate it, but yeah. I still do.
Okay. Okay. Right. Well, I'll try to be better. I probably won't be. But what do you think the future is? Lampkin gone, Da Silva out. Cody Williams is probably going to go to the NBA because he's going to be a top 10 pick despite some struggles as a Buff. Is this kind of, you know, emptying the cupboards here now that this run has come to an end and hope that Tad can win in recruiting again?
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't think you have another choice, right? I mean, like, are you asking, should Tad come back?
Well, Tad's coming back.
Okay, well then, yeah, I mean, then you got to reload, I guess, right? I mean, that's just where you're at. I mean, that's the nature of the game. When you have some of these young guys and guys that will be moving on, you gotta find a way to reload here and try to do it again. But I think overall for me, it was two thumbs up, you know? And I don't know what side you're on, but for me, you do hear some people like, well, hey, you know, we need to take that next step. We'll never take it with Tad. This is it. This is the best it'll get. And I'm like, all right, hey, you are CU basketball, right? You do know that,
mm-hmm.
You know? You're not Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina. Like, be careful. Be careful. You know the saying, right?
Be careful what you wish for, because you might just get it.
Nope. Oh. But that one might make sense. I was thinking of another one.
What were you
the grass
thinking?
Ain't always green on the other side.
All right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you're trying for more, but eventually you got to look at yourself and realize who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You try to take a big step forward, and guess what happens? You take a big step back. And now you're like, dang, yeah, it was good back then. Man, now we're looking for another coach in 2 years, 3 years, and it becomes a complete disaster. I don't want to see that for CU.
See, I could see the other side of where CU fans are of, because you're right, it is CU basketball. And you're not Duke. You're not the powerhouses, the blue bloods that you think of when you think of the NCAA tournament. But just because you've dated fours your whole life and now you found a seven doesn't mean that you shouldn't shoot for a 10 at some point.
No, that's it. That's the best you're going to get.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're ugly. You're damn ugly. That's what happens when you're ugly.
Be grateful
when you're
for
ugly,
a seven
is a grand slam, Josh. I mean, like, you ought to be celebrating how lucky you are. You're going to go for the – here's what's going to happen. You ready?
Yeah.
You got a 7.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go for a 10.
Oh, yeah.
And you're not going to get the 10, and the 7 ain't going to go back with you, and then you're going to go backwards to a 4 again. And you're going to hate life. You're going to be depressed, and you're going to do a lot of other bad things. You're going to end up in jail, and there goes your life. It's over. There you go. How about that?
I can't live not chasing a 10.
Well.
I got to chase 10s.
All right. Chase that 10. You're going to end up back with a 4 in jail, and your life's over depressed. There you go. That's what happened. Don't be that person, CU.
There's some roundabout way we're going to talk about Kevin finding a lady in that same conversation.
Oh, now you bring Kisner in here. What you said?
It's uncalled for.
We're sorry, Kev. We're sorry.
No, I didn't. You, not me. Oh, I didn't talk about him. I'm not sorry. I didn't do anything. That's you.
He wants you to be happy with a 7. I say go get your 10.
I just want to be happy.
Oh.
I think I'll be happy with a 4 right now. I think I'll be thrilled. See what you did to me?
Thank you for jumping on board. Buffs fans, how do you feel? Is Tad your 7 for life, or you want to chase that 10, but with the threat of possibly, you know, downgrading back to the 4. Tell us on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. We'll keep that conversation going, plus look back at what the Nuggets and Avs were able to do over the weekend and what should be the play for the Nuggets tonight. And I want to have that MPJ conversation with you, Stoke, because he had an opportunity to step up in a big way on Saturday night and didn't take that step. We'll address it next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Stokely and Josh.
is cast when the water's glass and the line starts to run. Well, that first sip of a cold beer when the working week's done.
So you can't play this song on Monday.
Right.
That's a rookie mistake.
It's a Friday song, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's Monday, and like, damn, got me thinking about the weekend.
It took you this long to figure that out?
Yes. It just came to me. I'm a little bit slower, Kisner, than most, all right? But eventually, usually, I get it figured out.
Yeah, you're coming back from some time off. It's all right.
Yeah, but you just can't play it on Monday.
Yeah.
You know?
I might add a layer to that rule. Like, don't play it on a day it's cold either.
Yeah. Well,
if
it's a Friday and it's cold,
okay,
you can play it.
All right.
You still got the weekend.
Yeah, you're right.
Not on a Monday.
Okay.
All right.
New rule, Kev. New rule
right
there.
It just makes me more depressed.
Yeah.
Guys are divas.
And?
He called us divas. That was actually good, Kevin. You want to join the show? You want to call us names? Do it at 303-713-1043. RamosLaw.com text line. Show's available to watch and hang out in the Twitch chat room over on Twitch, twitch.tv/DenverSportsCom. All right, I want to talk a little bit about the Ball Arena Bros, what went down over the weekend with the Avalanche, with the Nuggets. Let's start with Michael Porter Jr. We've given him a ton of flowers and a ton of credit post-All-Star break because he's been absolutely outstanding. He has officially been the third best player of the Denver Nuggets in that big three, and it had been Aaron Gordon up until that point. And then Saturday comes and you get the news, no Nikola, no Jamal. They are dealing with some minor injuries and we're going to get the night off. So you think, all right, it's a Michael Porter Jr. show. This dude, let him shoot 23s. Let's see what this can turn into. Scoreless in the first half. Did turn it on a bit and score 12 in the second half and had a big bucket late for the Nuggets. But I got to say, as happy and pleasantly surprised I had been from Michael Porter Jr. after the break, I was equally as disappointed in him on Saturday night.
Yeah, you shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be.
No. This is just who he is. So, like, once you start believing he's someone different, then that's when you get your heart broken.
Mm.
Right? That's when you get disappointed.
Mm.
And, yeah, the first half, it wasn't good. He couldn't make anything. And he had 0 points. 0 points. Like, dude, you're supposed to be the guy. I mean, I expect you have 30 tonight, right?
Yeah.
But I want to look at it and flip this thing around and look at what he did in the second half. He didn't pout. He didn't keep, you know, he ended up with 12 points. He came out in that second half and made some plays. He was aggressive on the boards. He got 9 rebounds, 3 assists. All right. Wasn't what I wanted to see in the first half. Second half was much better. Mm-hmm. They needed a few of those plays down the stretch there. So I got you. And look, you know, I'm just kidding to a certain degree there because I was expecting a big game from him.
Yeah.
I was. And it is a little bit disappointing when you look up at halftime, you're like, and he had some wide open shots that just weren't close. And it's like, man, come on, dude. This is your time to shine. Take it and run with it. You know, you ought to take, I don't know, 25 shots tonight.
For real.
This ought to be you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got to be the guy taking these shots. And the shot wasn't falling, just didn't look good. But I look at the second half, how he was able to rally after halftime and get to 12 points. They got a win. You look at the games before, yeah, they were nice. You know, he had 31, 26, 20 points. But I think this is just really who he is. You know, he's not going to ever be the guy, mm-hmm. just ever. So we kind of get caught up in that a little bit when he has some nice games and he's shooting it well. We get caught up in like kind of expecting him and hoping and thinking he's going to do this consistently. He's just not, especially without Jokic. Especially without Jokic and Jamal in the lineup. That just frees him up so much more, and it takes the pressure off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all good. Just didn't happen. And sometimes it will happen. He's just an inconsistent player, and especially without those guys around him. And I'm okay with that. I am. I've learned to live with it and accept it.
So does that mean, and this was kind of a bit of a conversation we were getting into last week with how good he has been. So can you never create expectations for Michael Porter Jr.? We have a ton of expectations for Nikola Jokic. He blows them out of the water 99% of the time. We have a pretty long list of expectations for Jamal Murray, and now we ramp those up when it comes postseason time. So is that what I'm hearing, is that we can't have expectations for a guy that's going to make $30 million this season?
Yeah, it's pretty depressing, right?
Yeah.
I think, you know, for me, my expectation for Michael Porter Jr. is it's going to be a lot of inconsistencies. And you're going to see a few games where he looks like the best shooter in the world. Then you're going to see a few games where it's like, dude, what is this guy like? Where he looks uncoordinated, it looks just out of place, out of sorts. Mm-hmm. His shot looks terrible. That is where I'm at with Michael Porter Jr. And I'm okay with it. Just bring it in the playoffs. Bring it when we need it the most, and be that third guy. And when he's the third guy, I think that's a great role for him. But we're going to still see some games that just have a scratch in our head, like, goodness gracious. What I like from him, really, I think when he really flipped the script for us is in the playoffs. Late in the playoffs, I don't remember when it was, round two, round three, whatever. His shot wasn't falling, but he was doing a lot of other things. And he was just being a good basketball player, right? You know, he's always been a great shooter. Shot's not falling. What else are you going to do? What else are you going to bring to the table? We're trying to win a championship here. And he was doing all those other things, getting on the floor for loose balls, getting rebounds, right? And so for me, I'm like, all right, when your shot's not falling, we need those other things from you. And it seems like he's figured those things out. So I get it, man. Look, he's making a lot of money. Do you want consistency? Yeah, I'd love to see it. But we're probably just never going to get it. And I'm A-okay with that, especially when we got Jokic and Murray.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. And I don't know if I'm lowering the bar here and just accepting something that I should expect more from. I don't know. Where are you at? Am I looking at this wrong?
No, I mean, it's the way you want to look at it. I'm a little bit more disappointed than you are in what he was. But I also am trying to give myself and him the benefit of the doubt of going, all right, well, he's not going to give you 25 every night. He's not going to give you 30 every night. He's not going to make six threes every single night. Maybe it was just an off night. And I also think you make a really good point. How different is the game for everybody on the floor when Nikola and Jamal are there, and the tear he's been on post All-Star break? Now if you're Portland, right, and you're Chauncey Billups and you're game planning and you're talking to your guys, hey, no Jamal, no Joker, let's shut down Michael Porter Jr. and make somebody else beat us. Well, maybe you give them a little bit of credit for doing it, and then credit AG, CB, and Reggie Jackson for the games that they had.
I don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
No. I don't want to give them
like,
credit.
Like Christian
like
Brown.
They doubled Michael Porter Jr. out there and said, I mean, I didn't really see a lot of that.
No,
I saw shots that just weren't falling for him. So I'm not going to give him a free pass, but I'm not going to. It's like, okay, I just where I'm at with Michael Porter Jr. It's all good. Just bring it enough in the playoffs for us where we can look up and say, all right, Jamal had an off shooting night. Jokic did his thing, and Michael Porter Jr. did his thing. You got to pick up some slack sometimes for these other guys when they're not having the night. And we've seen him do that post All-Star break, and hopefully that continues into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough to not have expectations because I was with you. I didn't have any expectations for Michael Porter Jr. because he gave me no reason to. But it's not like I based this off two games, Stoke. I'm basing this off 15. That's a decent sample size for me to expect something from a guy when the top two scorers are out. And then a guy like Christian Brown comes in off the bench and plays better than him. It's a little bit of a reason to worry for me.
I totally understand that. I'm just looking at it a little bit different than you. And hopefully we can all come together when we get Jokic and Murray back in the lineup. And hopefully that is tonight.
Yeah, tonight.
If I can take a deep breath.
They got Memphis. If they got Jokic and Murray, they should beat the brakes off of this team. But that's a big if right now. We'll tell you when we know. All right, I do want to talk a little bit about the Avalanche. Also want to talk about some rules changes happening in the NFL. So we'll tell you what the rules are, and we'll tell you all the records that Nathan MacKinnon set in a big comeback win yesterday, and we'll do both next.
It's Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Get to a huge night, afternoon, really, because it was a afternoon delight yesterday down at Ball Arena with what Nathan MacKinnon was able to do and the comeback again from the Avalanche. But Stoke, let's talk a little bit about NFL rule changes happening today because owners are meeting and you got to have 24 votes to get a rule change, and a couple of things have changed today. The biggest one and the biggest topic of conversation around NFL circles, it is the hip drop tackle. And you and I have had this conversation before. We watched Mark Andrews break his ankle, lose a big chunk of his season, and then able to come back in the playoffs. But that was the biggest story this year with that tackle. and it has now officially been banned as of this morning. A lot of people, mostly players, are the loudest because how the heck do you tackle anybody now in general? But to further that question, if you're behind somebody, I guess just give up on the play because you can't tackle them anymore.
Yeah, you got to DDT them into the ground. You got to jump on their head and DDT them into the ground, right? If you don't know what that means, you take their head, you just jump on it and just throw it right into the ground in a headlock. I mean, I don't understand it at all. Like, what are we doing? Got to make a tackle. Sometimes you got to pull them backwards. You know, injuries will happen in football no matter what you do. It's like you're making those guys on the defensive side of the football their job so much more difficult. I don't know. I guess they don't care. Right?
Seems like it.
Guess they really don't care. And I get it. Injuries happen if you grab the hip drop tackle kind of is like when you pull a guy backwards, right? I'm trying to explain to people that might not know what exactly it is. And you see a lot of lower leg injuries there, ankle, foot, maybe break a leg, right?
Yeah, and they're like when you're behind somebody and give up your weight, like get up, your feet, you're off your feet, you're giving all that weight to their body, and then the roll is where I guess people break their bones. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm more confused now than before.
Wait, what a term for it, of like giving up your weight.
Giving up your weight.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you pull them backwards, right? That's what you do. You don't go, like, if you grab them from the back and you just, like, go forward, you're fine. It's when you hold on to them and you pull them backwards, I don't know. Like, I'm having a hard time explaining what it is. You see a couple bad injuries, and then next thing you know, it's like, oh, nope, we can't have this tackle anymore. It's like, wait, what are we doing here, folks? I think we're overreacting here. To a few injuries, and I get it. It can be a dangerous situation. Don't let them pull you backwards. I don't know what to say, man. I mean, eventually, is it going to be two-hand touch? No, I'm serious here. There's, like, so many rules. It's hard to play defense in the NFL in 2024. Yeah. It just got harder. And, you know, I don't know, like, how you take that totally away from the game. They did it with the horse collar, obviously. But in this instance, I just didn't think it was necessary to ban that tackle. I don't know. So I don't like it.
You're not alone. A lot of people are doing it. J.J. Watt had the tweet 2 hours ago, so just fast forward to the belts with flags on them.
There you go.
Because it seems like it's getting there. And it's, I think there's a way to say this, and it's kind of harsh, and then obviously the way the NFL's looking at it of, well, we got to protect the players, we got to grow the game, we got to make sure that, you know, our future players are wanting to play this game, which they always will be. I just, and Soak, you know better than me, you played. Like, you know what the risk is. You know what you sign up for when you play football. You're going to probably break some bones. There might be some long-term damage, and hopefully there's not, right? Obviously, that's what everybody's rooting for. But we know what the risks are of playing football. This is just another step of watering it down. And as you hinted at and J.J. Watt tweeting about, another step in the wrong direction of changing the game of football to at least the version that we know it and the version that we fell in love with.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you say they're looking out for players. I don't want player safety and players' health. And I'm not buying that crap. I'm really not. In certain instances, that's what they try to portray, but in others, they don't, you know? And so it's like if it fits their agenda, then that's what they tell us. That's what Roger tells us. And this has been going on since, you know, the late 90s, and it's evolved, and it has become more of a thing, obviously, with the concussions. But they hid that for the players forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, they got busted, and they're like, oh, Schlotsky's here, like, you know, like we got caught here with our, you know what, down, right? And so all of a sudden they were scrambling there, and you know they figured it out, right? A bunch of money, but if it fits their agenda, that's what they go with. But like playing surfaces, you know, yeah, it's probably. I mean, you can't tell me that playing on grass isn't safer than playing on artificial turf, but they'll find stats to throw at us to tell another story, to defend their side of things because they don't want to spend the money. A lot of owners.
Yeah.
I mean, our owner will.
That's because he's got it.
He'll spend the money on new grass field, but most owners don't want to do that. It's a lot cheaper to go the artificial turf route. So I don't know, man. I don't know what to think of this. It's going to be interesting to see what it looks like this year. I just think a lot of fans are going to get frustrated. I think I will be. You will be, Josh, that when we see a flag being thrown on a tackle that doesn't even look that bad. But we'll see what it looks like moving forward. It might be like the horse collar, where it's like, all right, we see it, we know what it is, and it's like, all right, that should be a flag. But I think they're just trying to do too much here, and it's tough for those offenders.
You know what else kind of bugged me a bit about this is, as we're watching Adam Schefter, who's on the McAfee show now, but Adam Schefter tweeted out, the rule change is coming, and I know who Adam is. I know what his job is. He's obviously the best in the world at what he does. But he also tweeted out a video of some of the hip drop tackles, especially the Mark Andrews one, of leading to some of the injuries. And I don't really like that. Like, I know that he's a mouthpiece for the league, and this is a part of it. But it just, I don't know. It's too, I'm going to make up a word, I think, too mouthpiece-y for me. I it just rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know. I think Schefter walks a fine line there.
You do?
I do. And in this situation, I'm not reading that much into it like you are.
All right.
You don't like it. I respect your
just,
opinion on it.
Bugs me a little bit.
I think, you know, when you talk about it, you want to be informative in what some of those hits look like. And I'm sure maybe, you know, he's taking a stance there, but that's kind of his gig. That's his job.
Yeah, that's what he's got to do. Two other things we've learned this morning. This wasn't huge. Tush push isn't going anywhere. They're not going to outlaw that. So the Eagles will still be able to pick up third and one, fourth and one with ease at any time. And then the way challenges will be handled are a little different. The coaches have the two challenges. You win one of the two, you're going to earn a third challenge.
Oh, okay.
So there's an opportunity here. And, you know, you see it like, oh, I don't want to throw the flag because then I'm going to be out of challenges and it's only the beginning of the third quarter. Well, you win one of those bad boys, you got one in the back pocket for later on in the game. I really like that one.
Yeah, me too. How about that? They got one right.
Yeah.
One.
One out of three ain't bad.
I didn't even think about that. I didn't know that was a change proposal there at all. And, you know, because before, you had to win both to get another one. And if you lost one, then there was no way you were going to get a third. So before, if you won both, you got a third. And now, you know, you can be a little bit more aggressive with that second one, like you said, right? Because, you know, if you win that one, you still got a third. Whereas before, if you lost the first, now you had to be really conservative because if there's 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, you're like, ooh, I don't know. I might need that thing at 4 minute mark. So you got to make sure that you are going to win it because either way, you're going to be done.
Yeah.
Right. But now if you win one, you got a third. I think that's a good change there.
Me too. I like it. It allow the coaches to be a little bit more aggressive with those challenges in first halves or early in third quarters. You know, I was just thinking about this, going back to the hip drop thing. You think there's you remember last year, the face of the don't hit guys like this was Kareem Jackson, obviously. We knew that firsthand. You think they have a face of the hip drop tackle next year? It's just like some dude keeps doing it over and over and over. And tell me why it would be a Raider.
Yeah, no, definitely would be a Raider. I don't think it happens all that much.
Okay.
You know, like defenders, they have to tackle every play, right? And so, and especially when you play the safety position, the game's moving so fast, and a guy like Kareem Jackson, he's going to go in there violently to hit you. And so I think there's more instances like that than when you see how many hip tackles there will be. I hope that's the case. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
What do you make of it, football fans? Are you mad? Is football, the game that you love, changing in front of your very eyes? And if the answer is yes, like, what are you going to do? Would you stop watching football? Because I really doubt that that's the play. But, man, some of these rule changes are taking the game we grew up watching away from us in real time. But it's safer. So all good, right? 303-713-1043. All right, we didn't get to Nathan MacKinnon, but he made some history a couple of different ways in the comeback win yesterday over the Penguins. We'll tell you how next.
You're listening to Stokely and Josh on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
She's gonna break soon. With so many problems in her life.
Hey. Another comeback win. Another comeback win for the Avalanche. Down 4-0 in the second period. Yesterday against Sidney Crosby and the Penguins, and they had a huge comeback thanks to a couple of the new guys in period two, and then the Nathan MacKinnon and Jonathan Drouin show in period number three. You know what? We got to try to remember. Zach, it's good to be Zach Bye. I found this out. He went to the Avs game yesterday and got glass seats and took little Owen down there for his first game and got like a puck from Sidney Crosby, got a puck from Val. Dude, he had a heck of a Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Did the Bye family. So let's remember to ask him about that when they
I wonder in. Who he stole those tickets from.
That's exactly what I want to ask
you. He didn't pay for them. So that's the question to ask is who had the great seats that Zach that gave them to Zach?
Yeah, 100%.
Shout out to them.
Shout out to them for sure because little dude and Zach had a heck of a time. Got to see all kinds of cool stuff. But what we got to see watching the game was Nathan MacKinnon make some history, Stoke, and a couple of things that he did. He extended his home point streak. I know that's your favorite thing to keep track of. To 34 games, he broke the tie with Wayne Gretzky. Now, Gretzky was first, second, and like fourth, so he's second alone now, but still has to chase Wayne Gretzky. Something else he did was added his name to a list that Wayne Gretzky was the only one on it. His point streak was extended to 18 games. It's now his second 18 or more point streak, 18-game point streak in this season. He and Wayne Gretzky are the only two players in NHL history to have point streaks of that long twice in the same regular season. So Nate stands alone only behind Gretzky for home point streaks and also joins Gretzky for longest point streaks multiple times throughout the same regular season. Hell of an afternoon for Nate.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of point streaks going on there, which is really cool, Josh.
Obviously, I know you love those.
Yeah, I don't look a lot into those, obviously, when you're talking about like, well, he does it, you know, he's got the record for most point streaks in the first period. You know, it's like, okay, I get it. But home point streak, that's cool. He's doing something right, yeah. Obviously. But what a comeback overall. And Nate's playing great. And this team is playing great. This is what you want to see heading into the home stretch of the season and heading into the playoffs. So really cool finisher there from Jay Drouin. Jonathan. Drouin.
Mm-hmm.
The winner there in OT was really, really cool. The way that it unfolded, how it played out. I love overtime hockey. And it's exciting, and there it was. You know, you gotta get everybody back on sides, and then it was a give and the go, and a bam into the front of the net, and for the winner there, great comeback. That's what it's all about. You know, it's like you can nitpick, and this is what I do sometimes. Like, golly, we can't be digging ourselves these huge deficits in these games. Can't do it. But you can also look at the flip side here and say, man, this team, they got what it takes. It doesn't matter what they face.
Yeah.
They find ways to get it done. And down 4-0, it looks like it's over, but it's never over for the Avs.
No, that's right. Isn't there a song, It's Never Over, by Chris Daughtry? And I'm totally embarrassed I know that, but I do know it, so I don't even have to ask you. That's the Avenue theme song. Okay, it's not over. Drew knew it off the top of his head as well. There's one more thing that Nathan did with points. He had 122 with that Jonathan Drouin goal in overtime to get the dub. That passed Joe Sakic for the most all-time as an Avalanche. Not franchise, but that's not out of the question either. Here's what Nate had to say about passing his boss.
It's tough to answer that. I mean, I obviously Joe had it, and I don't think I'm as good as Joe ever was. So it's, yeah. It's a good number, I guess. It's a good stat to have, but a lot of guys are having special seasons for sure.
You kind of got to say that, right? I'm not as good as Joe.
Yeah.
Joe's the guy that handles the business around here.
Yeah, I mean, that's stay humble, right? Stay on the grind.
Yeah.
And so it's hopefully he can and finish the season off and win the MVP trophy. That would be really, really cool. He's on a good path right now. Just continue to do what he's been doing. And it looks like he's got a great chance to win it. And so, look, he's the best player in hockey right now.
Yeah.
And this team as a whole is playing at a high level. So, you know that it would mean a lot to him to win the Hart. That would be great. But ultimately, he wants to win another championship, right? He got that taste a couple years ago. And the way this team is playing now, why not?
Yeah, and Hart, too, though, and we talked about his legacy. You win a couple cups, you're a member, and in his case, you're the best of that great team. But, man, that you get a Hart, maybe you get a couple before it's all said and done. I know it's difficult, but you're talking about legacy. You're talking about Wayne Gretzky. You're talking about being in those kind of conversations as goats of your era, and that's where MacKinnon can live. So he has 122 points right now. 139 is the franchise record. Like I said, that's already the Avs record, but franchise record is 139. Peter Stasny did it back in 1981-82. 11 games left.
With the Nordiques.
Can he get 18 points in 11 games to steal that record from Peter Stasny?
Of course he can.
He definitely can.
Right. I mean, you think I'm gonna doubt that guy?
No way.
No, never. I mean, like, so I'm expecting him to do it, and I'm not doubting him. It's like you never doubt greatness.
Yeah.
You look at great players, great athletes. You don't doubt those guys. So I'm expecting him to get it done.
I am too. They got seven of the final 11 at home, Drew?
I think it's eight of their final
11.
He's got 34 game point streak. Oh, yeah, 41 home games. Yeah, I'm trying to do math in my head here.
Live math.
Yeah, live
good.
Math. Yeah. No, it is seven. Yeah, it's seven. Okay. 70 home games left.
Look at Stoke doing the live math faster than Drew.
Goodness gracious. I mean, like, well, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a lot of that. We only have, like, 10-minute segments. We don't have all that. Blah, 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 blah. I'm trying to do math in my head. Yeah. I got you, Drew.
Drew was taking his shoes off to get to 10. It was
right, yeah. Yeah. We don't have that much time.
So, yeah, that's what he can do in these final 11, seven of which will come at home. You said it, but it's locked up, isn't it? There's another thing that's only going to happen for the second time in history, and where maybe a month away from it, the NHL MVP, the Hart Trophy winner, is Nathan MacKinnon. The NBA MVP is Nikola Jokic. It'll be his third. Should be consecutive here with the league screwing that up a year ago. But it's going to happen, Stoke. For the first time since 88-89, the NBA and NHL MVP will reside in the same city, and it's our damn city.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx it.
Oh.
I don't want to, like, when if I didn't have action on both,
yeah.
I'd be like, hell yeah. I mean, like, who else can it be? Like, Jokic is definitely winning this thing, you know, and I'd be a lot more confident. But when you have action, you always have to be careful and cautious, and that's where I'm at. I got action on both. So, I mean, look, they're both big favorites right now. And Jokic is a huge favorite at minus 700, so... Like, if he can just step on the court here, probably five or six more games coming down the stretch, I mean, that's a wrap. MacKinnon, hockey's different world. But, you know, I don't want to say he's not a huge favorite right now, but he's a big favorite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's looking that way, Josh. But, again, like, I've seen the way that voting goes before, right?
Yeah.
You know, I got screwed in college.
You did,
yeah. Freshman, you know, all Louisiana.
Yeah.
That got taken from me. So people all have agenda. Ever since then, I'm like, all right. I see how this goes, mm-hmm. right?
Who won?
Life. Kevin Falk.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, he's all right.
Yeah, he was all right. But you know, when you do when you're like the first person to ever do something in college football history, like you would think that you know maybe you might win Freshman of the Year for that state. But yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was, who knows there.
Yeah.
But like. Seriously, I've let that go years ago, Josh. I don't think about that at all.
Yeah.
This is tough, man.
Kevin Falk on the show.
It's just tough. It is really tough. And I competed against him in high school, same district.
And whooped his butt?
No, they like in basketball, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Basketball. They didn't want that smoke.
Yeah.
Football, boo.
Okay.
I think they beat us like 70-something nothing.
I was going to say, because I do remember your huge, long basketball career. You know, like, let me talk about
I can hoop now.
I know.
I actually went out for the Raging Cajun basketball team.
And?
And I went out for it. What do you mean, and?
Yeah.
I was out there.
Yeah,
you were
out
I was
there.
Out there. My guy, Todd Reinhardt, that works at DU, mm-hmm. used to be a assistant basketball coach for Louisiana Lafayette.
Okay.
Yeah, under Marty Fletcher, who was at DU. He was a head coach then. Shout out Marty Fletcher. But I was doing my thing out there. Just too much time commitment for me. Yeah, so I had to. But I was doing my thing, Josh.
I know.
Don't Yeah.
I've seen you play horse, dude.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Oh, my God. No, but this voting stuff, just voting in general, we've all seen. I mean, like, why is Mike Shanahan not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Ridiculous.
Like, you just get to some, and people have agendas. So, well, took me a while to get back to this spot here, but I'm feeling good about where we're at here with Jokic and McKinnon for MVP and be the second only city to have that honor of both two MVPs.
Yeah, it is coming. It should be coming unless somebody screws something up with the voting. You might have already screwed up your bracket, but don't worry. Our friend at Sport Clips are having a second chance bracket. It's at denversports.com/hoops. You have your chance to win $1,000. You're out on the 5K, but Sport Clips chipping another K there. And a pair of tickets to not one, not two, not three, every concert at the PRCA Rodeo event at the granddaddy of them all in Cheyenne. That's denversports.com/hoops. You got to get all your entries in before the first game tips off Thursday, March 28th. So again, it's the Sport Clips second chance bracket at denversports.com/hoops.